The Spanish judge, who is investigating the March 11th train bombings in Madrid this week, issued 5 more arrest warrants. Nearly 20 people have been charged in connection with the attacks. 191 people were killed and more than 2,000 others wounded in the bombings, the worst terrorist attack in a West European country. European officials are monitoring the Spanish investigation. NPR's Sylvia Poggioli reports.
A work crew is cleaning up debris at an apartment building in Leganés, a residential Madrid suburb. The 5-story building was gutted April 3rd when, in a second-floor apartment, men believed to be responsible for the Madrid train bombings set off an explosion and blew themselves up. The blast was so powerful, body parts were strewn as far as the outdoor courtyard. 7 men are believed to have died in the blast, along with 1 police officer. Anabel Salero lives in the building next door. She says that around 6:30 p.m. that day, police quietly evacuated all the buildings on the street. She says she never met the suspected terrorists. Their faces were always hidden by woolen scarves. They moved in here, she says, only about 3 weeks before they blew themselves up, just after the March 11th train bombings. It's not clear how the police tracked down the suspects to this Leganés apartment, but investigators believe 2 of the masterminds of the 3/11 bombings died in the apartment blast, Tunisian Serhan Ben Abdelmajid Farket, a real estate agent, and Moroccan Jamal Amidan, an alleged drug dealer. The profiles of these 2 men offer new insight into the group believed responsible for the worst terror attack in Europe in years. Well-educated, middle-class, and apparently westernized immigrants living in Europe for some years, working together with petty criminals. Ignacio Cosidó has just been elected to parliament. Until recently, he was an anti-terrorism official in the Guardia Civil Security Service.
What is quite clear is a link between organized crime and terrorism, mainly for financing them. It's clear part of the payment for the explosives were made by narcotics.
Narcotics dealt by the Moroccan Jamal Amidan, who had a long criminal record as a drug trafficker and close ties to the Tangiers underworld. Police believe the operational chief and coordinator of the bombings was the Tunisian Farket. Farket arrived in Spain 8 years ago with a scholarship to study economics at a Madrid university. He also worked as an accountant at the Islamic Cultural Center in Madrid's largest mosque, where he took religion classes. But he left the mosque considering its teachings too moderate. Spanish authorities believe the 3/11 bombings were organized locally and independently by people who have been living here for some years and who have connections with other Islamic radical groups in Europe and beyond. But anti-terrorism expert Juan Avilés says key pieces of the puzzle are missing.
For the moment, we don't know who ordered the 11th of March attack. We have a lot of clues about connection between people in Spain and Al-Qaeda, but we have not proved that Bin Laden ordered the 11th of March attack.
Immediately after the September 11 attacks in the U.S., it was revealed that Spain had been a key logistics base of Islamic terrorism. Hijacker Mohamed Atta visited Spain in July 2001 for a meeting with Ramzi Bin al-Shib, currently detained in Guantanamo, and others to prepare for the New York and Washington attacks. Investigators believe the man who organized that meeting, Amer Azizi, who is wanted in the U.S. as an Al-Qaeda operative, may have visited Spain recently and perhaps played a role in the 3/11 train bombings. If Azizi's involvement were proven, it could establish a direct operational link between the 3/11 plotters and Al-Qaeda. But in a recent report, Baltasar Garzón, the leading Spanish magistrate who has been investigating Islamic terrorism in Spain for 3 years, described Al-Qaeda as a franchise whose operatives follow Osama bin Laden's ideological tenets but often work independently and without orders. Fernando Linares, director of the Terrorism Research and Analysis Unit at King Juan Carlos University, says the probe shows the Spanish cell was a horizontal offshoot of Al-Qaeda.
Because the network is not only Al-Qaeda, the network is Al-Qaeda plus some between 20 and 30 armed groups of Islamist orientations throughout the world. And all these self-constituted cells they self-finance, and whenever they want to target and have opportunity to do so, they always target in the line established by Osama bin Laden.
Spanish authorities acknowledge that the presence of Islamic militants in Spain had been known for years, but, as in other European countries, they were not considered a threat to national security. Some European countries had a virtual non-belligerence pact with Islamic militants. Spanish intelligence efforts were focused on indigenous terrorism and the threat posed by the Basque ETA organization. Out of Spain's estimated 800 intelligence agents, only about 100 are dedicated to following Islamic terrorism. The challenge for European investigators now is to discover how many sleeper cells they have in their midst. In addition, Fernando Renares says Islamic extremists may count on a climate of complicity among Muslim immigrants.
When we speak about Islamic terrorism, as in any other kind of terrorism, tolerance is always an asset in the hands of the terrorists, always a resource. This will explain how easily they were moving inside the community.
Renares and other analysts do not believe the presence of Spanish troops in Iraq was the primary motivation for the 3/11 attacks. They believe there's another reason why Spain was chosen as a target. In the debris of the Leganés apartment, police found a video cassette that showed militants with covered faces and brandishing assault weapons. They warned of more attacks against Spain, which they identified as a former Islamic land that must be reconquered. This echoed a 2001 taped statement made by Osama bin Laden evoking Al-Andalus, the ancient name of the land that is now modern Spain and was ruled by Muslims for 8 centuries. And whose loss is still perceived as a painful humiliation in many parts of the Islamic world. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.